The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the rogue cards in Devil Reef, the second Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers, sir, if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best receive an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst receive an Auto Fail. The cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first rogue card in the pack is Priest of Two Faiths. It is a one-cost asset that costs one experience point. It has an agility skill icon, the ally, blessed, and curse traits. It has the response, after Priest of Two Faiths enters play, add 3 blessed tokens to the chaos bag. And it has the forced effect, at the end of the upkeep phase, you must either add 1 curse token to the chaos bag or discard Priest of Two Faiths. It has 2 health and 2 sanity and takes up an ally slot. What do you think about this card, Nate?
I think unlike some of the other parallels that we've seen of this card, like Hired Muscle and Treasure Hunter, I think this one's probably the best out of all of them. Just because I think you could actually make use of a card like this. If you're playing the Rogue Curse deck, I think this card is actually pretty decent as it slowly continues to add curse tokens to the bag that you can leverage with your effects, such as the Covenant that they have, as well as a card like Skeptic. And adding 3 Blessed tokens is kind of nice. It has decent soak. It's cheap, both in experience and resource cost. I guess the biggest knock against this card is that it takes up the ally slot, which is such a coveted slot in rogues, especially with Leo DeLuca or the other experienced allies like Lola Santiago and Delilah.
Yeah, I think, we've got another priest here for Father Mateo to put in his deck. I believe this might actually be the first rogue card that he has access to. He's incredibly cheap for one resource, 2 health and 2 sanity. If you were just playing this guy just to have a warm body on the ground that is going to take a couple hits for you, that's a pretty good reason to include him already. Adding 3 blessed tokens to the chaos bag, I mean, that's one of the easiest ways to add a bunch of blessed tokens quickly. And I don't think rogues have any other ways to add blessed tokens, at least that we've seen so far. So if you're playing an investigator that sort of mixes bless and curse, this guy is probably your go-to. And if you are playing like a seeker or a mystic that wants a lot of curse tokens in the bag, and this guy will get you, is a very easy way of getting 1 curse token at the end of every upkeep phase. I agree with you. The biggest problem is that he takes up the ally slot, and I think rogues would tend to upgrade to Lola or Delilah over this guy. So I think unless you're playing unless you're playing the Bless or Curse deck, you're probably not going to spend the 1 experience point on this guy. You're probably going to make the jump right to Lola or Delilah or one of the other more expensive rogue allies.
So what would you rate this card?
I think in that he's probably, I don't know, I'm torn between +1 and +0. I think he's probably good enough to be a +1 in the Blesser, in a curse deck. The blessed tokens are nice, but I'm not too sure what that sort of deck would look like. I mean, maybe a survivor like Wendy Adams might be able to put something together with between the blessed tokens from the survivor card pool and then this guy. Maybe somebody like Preston could also could do something similar, or Leo with all of his is it Leo Anderson? Leo Anderson with all of his allies having this guy around and having the Guardian ability to add a lot of blessed tokens, you might be able to see some sort of deck come out of that.
Yeah, and Leo, you could play him for free, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
You could, like, play him for free with your ability and then just, like, tank a hit or something. Just get three blessed tokens for free, essentially. So it's not terrible.
Yeah. So I think I would end up on plus one in that bless, in a bless or curse deck. Otherwise, I think they're probably better. If this guy didn't cost experience points, I think he would be a solid plus one because he would be a very nice ally to have at the beginning of a campaign. But the fact that he costs one experience point, sort of ends up hurting him in the long run, just because there are such great rogue allies that you're going to want to spend your experience points on over this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to give him a zero, but I think he's good enough to get a plus one just because he's so cheap, like once you have him in your deck. But yeah, even if he cost two and zero experience, I still think he'd be pretty good. But I think the one experience is just to kind of keep him in line with Treasure Hunter and Hired Muscle, which also have one experience.
Right. Right. Good point.
But this card is much better than those two, so.
Yeah, Hired Muscle and Treasure Hunter, I don't think have really found a place, probably outside of Leo decks. But I think this guy actually sort of would make me want to. His abilities are interesting enough that I would probably explore some of the investigators who can play around with both Bless and Curse and see what kind of deck pops out of that.
Yeah, I could see Mateo potentially taking this, and then you could play like Tempt Fate, and you could possibly play Paradoxical Covenant, which I know we totally kind of poo-pooed on in our original review, but you could try to make a deck like that work. But
yeah, and Mateo might be able to also use the new set of Mystic Spells, and have this guy in his back pocket feeding the bag with curse tokens every turn. So, and then if you combine that with a card like Favor of the Moon, you could reliably have a way of pulling those curse tokens whenever you need them to trigger the secondary effects.
Now I kind of have an idea. Now I just see a deck with this guy and you use Olive with a combination like Charisma with Mateo, and then you just jam a bunch of those other spells and go to town. That could be fun. I don't know if it would work out very well, but it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I think this guy's definitely he's worth a plus one simply because I think he creates some interesting decks that I think would be worth exploring, and you never know, maybe something solid comes out of that.
Yeah, like putting bless tokens into a bag where you're primarily focusing on curse tokens isn't nearly as impactful as the opposite. So
yeah, I think for those, like for a dedicated curse deck, adding the three bless tokens is kind of a downside, just because if you are playing a card like Gate of Arach, you don't want to be some of those bless tokens taking up those curse token slots. You really want to, if you want the curse tokens, you want curse tokens. Your bless tokens aren't really helping you all that much.
Yeah, but I don't think you're playing Priest of Two-Face in a deck like that, generally speaking. No. So,
all right. The second rogue card in the pack is Under Surveillance. It's a three-cost event that costs one experience point. It has intellect and agility skill icons. It has the tactic and trap trait. Attached to your location, limit one per location, and it has a forced effect. After a non-elite enemy enters attached location, discard under surveillance. Automatically evade that enemy and discover one clue at attached location. That enemy does not ready during the next upkeep phase. Man, I look at that first line, attached to your location, and the list of cards that have had that little piece of game text that have actually gone on to see a lot of play has not been been very good. Now, this one, the ability to automatically evade an enemy and then lock it down for another turn and discover a clue on top of that, do you think that might elevate this one above some of the other attached to your location events?
Well, no, I think the problem with this card is just it's costed way too high. It costs 3 resources and an experience to include in your deck, and it costs an action to play. The effect is very good. I mean, that being said, it takes a lot of work to get this to trigger. So I don't think it's really worth it.
Yeah, that's always the case with these. Always seems to be the case with these attached to your location events that we have seen. You've got to have a lot of things sort of go right for you. You need to take the action to attach this to your location. Then you need a non-elite enemy to either spawn on you during the Mythos phase, or you need a non-elite enemy that has the Hunter keyword to move to your location. Now, a lot of the enemies in the Innsmouth Conspiracy campaign have the Hunter keyword, so that's sort of taken care of. But then you do need sort of if you really want to benefit from it, and you need clues at your location in order to get the benefit there. Now, I guess one of the nice things about this compared to some of the other attached to your location cards is that you can sort of drop this and then move away and still get the benefit of it after, say if you drop this behind you, move away, and then a hunter moves in, you can get a clue and lock that hunter down for a couple of turns. That seems pretty good, but yeah, I agree. It's pretty pricey at 3 resources, and there's a lot to get this to work. Now, it does synergize a little bit with Chuck Fergus, that rogue ally that was released in the Winifred Habermock starter deck. He can make this, I believe you can play this for 2 resources, or sorry, 1 resource, or you could make it fast. So there might be something there worth exploring, but Mark Harrigan is the tactics man, but he can't take this because it costs an experience point.
Yeah, I think it's very scenario specific. I think in scenarios like the Waking Nightmare, I could see this being useful, but you can't even play it in a scenario like that. So yeah, you need to find a scenario where this is useful in your campaign, and you need to be able to play it, and you need to be able to trigger it. There's just it's just a lot of hoops to jump through, and it's very costly. I don't know. I think I would rate this an Elder thing. I think this is a pretty underwhelming card.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I don't think it, I mean it, it's I think it's powerful. Like, the effects are quite powerful. It's just there's so damn much you've got to do to get this off the ground that and then you need the right scenario. And I think that's one of the biggest sort of weaknesses of this game, is that a lot of these scenario specific cards the game isn't set up in such a way that if you could build your deck and then say, okay, I'm going to play scenario A where under surveillance is good, so I'll put that in my deck, and then I'm going on to scenario B where under surveillance is not good, and I can easily remove that from my deck without having to spend experience points, then cards like this, you might be willing to take a chance on them, but when the campaign is set up that, you know, you generally want to spend your experience points on including powerful cards in your deck that are going to be generally useful in all scenarios, cards like this just don't make the cut because it's not worth it for one scenario most of the time.
Yeah, again, and if this card had good icons, like if it had a single wild icon on it, it might be worthwhile to put in your deck at one experience, but it's so tough to, I think, to get this to work the way you want it to a lot of the time that you're going to be pretty let down by this card.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes here that events that attach to your location often work better in theory than in practice, and I think this is yet another example of that in action, where it seems very good, but I think once you get this to the table and it's sitting in your hand, you're going to be like, man, why did I put this card in my deck? And you're going to be upset. That's going to do it for the rogue cards in Devil Reef. The Priest of Two Faiths, I think, is a very intriguing card. I am looking forward to playing Orion with this guy to see which kind of decks he can slot into. Adding 3 Blessed tokens isn't super great on its own, but the ability to add a curse token to the bag every upkeep is very nice if you want the curse tokens. And he's got the 2 health and 2 sanity if you just need a cheap ally to take a hit for you. Under surveillance, well, what can we say? It's one of those attached to your location events, and those have rarely worked out in the past. I mean, I was looking back at the list of them. You've got like Ambush, you've got Barricade, which only saw play once there was a deck for it. There was that, there's Lure, which is absolutely terrible. There's another Survivor one. The name escapes me at the moment, but
Hiding Spot.
Hiding Spot is actually pretty decent, but there's another one that just I think I was high on it initially in my reviews, and I've never played it. So yeah, I think I've learned my lesson about these attached to your location events. And now speaking of that, I mean, there is maybe one glimmer of hope for this card, and that is the trap trait, which so far no investigator has. We don't have an investigator that can leverage the trap trait, and we don't have cards that leverage the trap trait. So perhaps down the road we might see a card that deals with cards that have this trait, and suddenly under surveillance becomes more interesting. But I don't think we're going to see that this cycle.
Yeah, I think if you had a way to consistently make this card fast, like if you were playing Chuck Fergus, maybe this card becomes a little more useful. But yeah,